You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Aston Villa Nope. Hello and welcome to the Climb Blue podcast. I'm your host, Dan Rowlandson. I'm joined here by John Townley in the office to launch the Claritin Blue Aston Villa Hall of Fame. So this is something that I want to be a recurring series on the channel over the next 2 weeks, 3 months, a year, whatever it is. I want to come back with an episode every so often with you, me and John, Matt Kendrick, Rob Warner, Frankie Maguire, whoever it is can come on and nominate a couple of players to become a part of our Aston Villa Hall of Fame. Now, the way we're going to do this is each episode we're going to nominate 2, 3, 4 players to it, and they will form part of a group of what, 30 maybe for Hall of Fame? Is there a limit?
Can be a limit, but
there needs to be a reason why.
You can't
This isn't just who's your favourite player. They've got to have something about them.
Yes.
There is a group of 30, 40 players that people instantly go, right, this player have to be in there. And we agree with that. Some players absolutely do have to
but
be in there.
But this is a podcast and we need to be able to speak about
them. Exactly. So if we say this player, but I've never watched them play, can't really say much more, let's move on. Yeah. That makes for boring podcasting. So that player will be in there, but we need someone else to draft that player in. So the player I'm thinking of, example, is Paul McGrath, right? Yeah. He obviously has to be in an Aston Villa Hall of Fame. We never saw him play. We only know stories of him secondhand, whereas Kendrick has seen him play. He is better suited to talk about
members of
somebody
the 82
like,
team.
Yeah, you need Rob Bishop to come on and do an episode. And he could put a player in. And these aren't necessarily the first players to be in there by importance. We're not saying these are the top four. It's just these are four that we're nominated.
Yeah,
and
to each year.
Yeah, the episode that we do in 6 weeks' time will be another four, or however we do it. Mm-hmm. And then eventually in a year's time, 2 years' time, we will
rank the best players.
Well, I was going to say, we'll put them in some kind of order, possibly. Because usually there's a Premier League Hall of Fame isn't the official Premier League.
Is there a
League
rank
do.
On that?
They don't rank them. But they tend to be like the most important ones have gone in first, I think.
Shall I go first?
Yeah.
For...
Come on then. Take it away. This is the first player.
The first player
into the Claret and Blue Aston Villa Hall of Fame.
I'm going to have to get my phone out.
John Townley, it is...
Charlie Aitken.
Yeah, of course. Has to be in there, right?
Yeah. Record appearance holder for the club.
Yeah.
660 appearances. I think it's fitting to start off with Mr. Aitken. Unfortunately passed away quite recently.
Yeah. Last few months.
I mean, we haven't watched him. A lot of our viewers won't have watched him. If they did, then they would have been probably quite young.
Yeah. played for Villa from 1959 to 1976. So even if you saw the tail end of his career, that was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So you've got to be 60 probably to even remember him, and you'd be a 10-year-old at the time, even at the back end of his career. So to be fair, if there is anyone watching or listening to this who did see Charlie Aitken play, let us know, because we'd rather hear from one of you guys who saw him than us, who are just effectively reading off a Wikipedia page. No disrespect to having your phone out, John. I've got an iPad here as well.
Yeah,
but we've got to, if you're going to talk about someone like Charlie Aitken, you've got to give him the
yeah, exactly.
The credit he deserves. Yeah. The only way to do that is to read bits and pieces. So
yeah, so three appearances off the bench in the 660 games that he played.
That's we spoke about this after he passed away.
Hard to comprehend.
Yeah, to 660 appearances is mental. For 657 of those to be starts is at a time when the pitches weren't great and in injuries and whatever else. That many games.
Yeah, I can't think. How were you not injured? Or he probably was injured for all that, at least a period of that time.
Yeah,
because. I mean, obviously, they would have done stretches, running up hills and stuff like that, you know. But in terms of medical science, all that stuff, and
what is that? 1976 is that 17 years?
17 years. So there was 13 right backs who operated on the opposite flank to Aitken in the 17 years he had at the club.
Really?
13. That's
wow,
crazy. So to put his 660 appearances into context, John McGinn has made just over 200, I think it is now.
Mm, in 5 years.
Yeah, in 5 years. And again, John McGinn has been here for 17 years, but that kind of shows how, you know, John McGinn feels like he's been around for a long time now.
And played a lot of football, but it's still only 200.
And it's still only 200. That's, you know, not even
he'd have to play for another 10 years to even touch,
remarkable.
Touch that. And
yeah. In a position as well that, I don't know if this sounds stupid, but as a left back, you know, you can be... yeah, he clearly was an exceptional player, Charlie Aitken. But do you know what I mean? It's like if a new manager prefers a different player, well, then you're you're out.
Yeah, hard to get back in.
Yeah, so
and when you see so much kind of turnover on the opposite flank, that it shows that
exactly.
it's
yeah,
not
that's
just like
the point
right backs always played for that length of time. Mm-hmm. It's like there's so much turnover that side. So to be a mainstay for 17 years, I mean, that's 38 appearances every year for 17 years.
It's crazy
in a row on average. You know, that's unbelievable
and
longevity.
Won trophies with Villa as well. Did a piece, kind of like a...
It's like a tribute, wasn't it?
Tribute is the right word. Yeah, tribute after he passed away. I think he was in October, late October. So that, if you could link that in the
description. Yeah, we'll get
that
in the description.
That would be... Reading that would be easier than listening to me about Charlie Aitken, because that was more thoughtful and more kind of thought-provoking. Charlie Aitken is my... first inductee, I suppose. I think it's probably fitting that he's the first one to get in our Hall of Fame.
We said this wasn't in any kind of order in terms of, you know, these players are the best four, but to have the record Aston Villa appearance maker as the first does seem very fitting and right that he's in there for that reason. The unbelievable longevity and nice to get him in there. I'll go with one of mine then now, and almost the, I don't want to say modern day Charlie Aitken, because that's unfair, but somebody else who played a bloody lot of games for Aston Villa, Gareth Barry.
Yes.
I've got these numbers from Wikipedia, so forgive me if they're wrong, stat nerds out there. I'm talking about you, AVFC Stato. I've got 423 starts for the club across all competitions, and 18 off the bench, so what's that, 450-ish games for the club total. Which again is a massive amount of games to play between 97 and 2009. One of my first kind of heroes, or whatever word you want to use, Gareth Barry coming through as captain during the O'Neill era, and to hear different things about him, to get him on the podcast at one stage as well in 21,
lockdown,
I think it was. Yeah, just after. Yeah. Again, while I mention that, we get a lot of messages like, oh, interview this person, interview that person. It's like, we've done it. Like, it was just 3 years ago, no one knows about it. We have interviewed Gareth Barry, so if you want to go and watch that, that will be linked down below as well. He spoke about the move to Liverpool that never happened, and then eventually going to Man City and the reaction that got. And it's a great interview. Some of the things that you learn about his early career, coming through and playing centre half, playing left back, moving into midfield, playing alongside Southgate, Ekiog, and kind of spanning these different periods of Villa as football changes as well, from the late 90s to the late 2010s, is it? 20, no, what's
when
the middle
left?
Ones? 2000, no, to the late 2000s with Villa, and then into the 2010s winning the league with Man City and whatnot. So a brilliant career, the record Premier League appearance maker total,
is
it?
James Milner is chasing him.
James Milner's
still
chasing
got a little
it,
bit
yeah.
of distance. But
I don't think he will. Don't think he will do it.
I think he will.
Do you?
I don't think James Milner can end his career without
hitting that milestone.
There'll be a club that takes him, surely.
Gareth Barry currently has it. He's obviously not Villa's record appearance maker, because Charlie Aitken is that, but he's eighth in the list of all-time Aston Villa appearances, which again is, you know, when you look through the dates that I've got in front of me, he's the only player of the modern era, if you like, to get anywhere near that. To play that amount of games for the club and to do what he did with us has to be Hall of Fame worthy, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's going to be different things that, I don't know, tick the box of a Hall of Famer, and he ticks most of them.
a captain during a successful period. Yeah, he didn't win anything.
But you know, again, if you take all of them, then you're probably number one. So
yeah, do you want to go with yours next, or should I go two in a row? Go yours because I've done.
I'll go mine. So my second pick, not nomination, pick is Jack Grealish.
Okay, you winced a little bit when you said that.
No, did I?
Yeah, you kind of went, oh, Jack Grealish. Is that, why is that?
No, I don't. Well, I've picked him as one of my two nominees, so there's clearly no. No, I don't know. I think it's just obviously some people are still a bit sour about.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But yeah, he's in there for me. The best Villa player I've seen live. Yeah. So it's kind of the headline
kind of
point.
Full stop, then, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that's, you know, 24 years of watch. I weren't watching Villa until I was six or so.
And he wasn't there either. In your time of watching Villa,
the time watching Villa, he was the best.
He played was the best.
And I don't think many will get kind of close to the... no, sorry. Let me reword that. He had a set of attributes that I don't think I'll see, at least for a very long time, in terms of how he glides with the ball, how he can beat a player, his creativity, his just that natural ability. Like, you're born with that. You can work as hard as you like, but you can't glide like Jack can.
Mm.
And that's just the raw attribute that he had from a young age and, developed by different managers. I think Jack had quite a few points in his career where it could have gone differently, should we say. You know, you're thinking, early on, he was kind of thrown into the limelight straight away. Did well under Sherwood, but didn't get on with Lambert particularly, other managers as well. So I think it was right that he had a kind of succession of like Bruce, who took him under his wing well. Obviously Dean Smith as well was probably the main one. So yeah, he had a set of managers who got the best out of him, would kind of put up with him as well, I think, sometimes towards the early stage of his career when, at the end of the day, you're dealing with a player who's at that point so young and has the world at his feet, really. You've got to do your best to get it out of him. And there isn't kind of one set way of doing it. You know, to be a good manager, you have to do different things with different people. And those managers did that, so fair play to them. And yeah, Jack's now become a superstar on and off the pitch, but don't really care about off the pitch. It's on the pitch that matters. And yeah, I always think back to that pre-season game against Watford. I think we lost 1-0.
Is that when he got injured?
Yeah. Punched his kidney or something. That was like a very obviously serious. I mean, that
punctured his kidney, is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
Jack Grealish's kidney was split in two places following a challenge by former teammate Watford midfielder Tom Cleverley. He was told by a surgeon he could die.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so very serious.
Yeah, very serious. You know, I don't know if it was life-threatening, but, you know, that's a very serious accident or, like, freak accident. But, you know, coming back from that, I think he probably put him on course a little bit for the rest of that season because he came back a different player. He looked different.
Yeah.
He looks on it. And, so there's a few different kind of turning points in Jack's career, I think, early on. But since he had that injury, I suppose, for me anyway, he's just gone one way. I remember the playoff game against Middlesbrough when we were in that black kit. He was just so good in that game, and that's the first time I've properly seen him play that well. And then the following year obviously could have gone to Spurs, didn't. Lots of different stuff, but ultimately a player who's had a significant impact on the club.
We wouldn't be back in the Premier League if it wasn't for
the trajectory of the club.
Yeah.
£100 million as well, whether people, like it or not, that he went, £100 million for any football club is huge. Real top player and, local lad as well helps, I think, to be on the list.
Yeah.
Makes it look nicer.
Yeah.
Jack's definitely there. And
certainly worthy of a Hall of Fame.
Take away all the kind of, however people think about him or whatever, as a footballer, because that's what we're basing it off. Yeah, not many are as good as him.
Okay, yeah, he's definitely in there for me. My second pick and the fourth of this episode is Martin Larsson, who is a player that I absolutely loved growing up.
Yeah.
I've said before, like, I was never I didn't play football for a team or anything like that. But on the playground, I was always at the back.
But you were Martin Larson in the playground.
Yeah, Martin Larson heading balls away and thinking I was the next best thing. Just that kind of aggression towards to go and win the ball no matter what and do anything for the club. Like
Rollo's ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't remember signing. I've got some notes in front of me again. Just it's only Wikipedia, but notes are notes, aren't they? Yeah. I don't remember when he joined. It was May 2004, just before 2004. I was starting to pay attention.
Was that early?
2004, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought he was about 2006, didn't
he? No, he was already there before that. He'd obviously had problems with injury. So he was obviously AC Milan before that. Won silverware with Milan, did not play in the Champions League final, won the Coppa Italia Champions League and European Super Cup in 2003 and the 2004 Serie A. So very, very successful before coming to Villa. But failed to establish a spot in the team in the long run because of a certain Paolo Maldini and Alessandro Nesta, and then they signed Yapstam. So some great centre-backs there.
Try scoring against them.
He left the club after that. Joined Villa, 3 million. So again, like different parameters for different players to get into this for me. Yeah. A great player for us, great value for money, fan favourite, that kind of thing, all puts him towards a Hall of Fame, in my opinion. You don't have to have won a trophy or anything to be in this, because it'd be bloody slim pickings, wouldn't it, if you could only be a trophy winner.
Not.
Or you can only ever pick a certain era, and that seems unfair. We've not won anything for 30 years, so you can't have 30 years worth of players just because they didn't win a trophy. Like, that's madness. As much as he was very successful at Milan in terms of silverware, his best spell at any club in terms of games played was Villa. And that was only 84 appearances. Yeah, right, sad, starts.
Sad, really, isn't it?
At least, which is nothing really.
For he was so good.
He was there for 5 years, right? So he left in 2009. He retired, obviously, because of knee problems. Yeah. You'd say before about John McGinn racking up 200-odd games in 5 years. For Larson to only get to 84, it's such a sad kind of, again, what might have been if he was fully fit all the time.
If that was these days, it would be like, what's Emery going to say about Larson in the press conference? He's out for 3 weeks. The week after.
Did feel
he's
like
out
that.
For another, you know.
Yeah. But kind of managed well to even get that out of him with the problems that he had. And when he did play, I thought he was excellent. And a little bit of revisionism to that obviously he wasn't excellent every single game he played, but my memory of him is that he was a great player all the time. He scored against Ajax, that famous goal in the game in the Europa League. Was it the Europa League? It wouldn't have been the Europa League then, was it? UEFA Cup, of course, yeah. Captain at one stage.
Yeah, he's just a player that every fan can warm to.
Yeah.
Just from the first game that he would have played, because I presume he would have won a few headers. No messing about. He's, top defender, someone you can rely on all the time. Barring the injuries, granted. Yeah. But when he's playing,
score goals as well.
Just a brick wall.
Score goals.
Yeah,
from
because
set
if
pieces,
you put the ball in the air, the guy's gonna. Win the.
I don't know. He's only scored 8 goals total for us, but I seem to remember having a season where he scored maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah,
and
that would have been
year.
A lot more. If,
that should have been 15-20 really in a 200-plus career for us, if not for injuries. But
and that's nearly like what 1 in 10, nearly
massive injury problems. April 2009, O'Neill expressed his fears that Larson's career might be over, which, due to injuries, even if treated, would require 10 months of reconvalescence. Martin Larson, somebody that I love, somebody that plenty of other people would have loved as well. I remember Rob Warner talking about him on an episode we did about how great he was.
Also podcast with him.
Yeah, our first podcast with a former player was Martin Larson in April of 2020. Off the top of my head, it was in the first lockdown. It was done on Skype. Those are our four nominations. Picks,
first four.
Inductees, whatever the word is, for the Claret and Blue Aston Villa Hall of Fame. We've got Charlie Aitken, Gareth Barry, Jack Grealish, and Martin Larson. Now, I'll do some nice graphics and branding and stuff for this episode as well that will hopefully have been on the screen at some point during YouTube. This will be a recurring series. We're not saying that those four are the best four players to be in this list, but certainly in there with good reason. You can give your suggestions on the Spotify comment section, which is new, and the YouTube comment section, and we can put some of those forward in future episodes as well. For anybody who maybe fast-forwarded the start and is going, where the hell's Paul McGrath and Dennis Mortimer, etc., etc., those players will undoubtedly be in this list, but it's not our place
to
talk about
them. We can
only
pick two.
Also that, but you know, you had to read off your phone for Charlie Aitken. If we've got to do that for every player,
yeah, and I've advised people to look at an article as well. So
it's not interesting, is it? So when we get somebody on who saw every single Paul McGrath game or every single Gordon Cowan's game,
I'll get my dad on to talk about Sid Cowan.
It'll be them who get their picks to put those players in this list, and this will be a list that develops in the weeks, months, and maybe years ahead as well. John, thanks for your time, your suggestions, as always. Thank you for watching or listening to this podcast. Get involved in the comments with your thoughts, and we'll see you on the next one.